Good morning to everyone. Our first case this morning is Morrison v. Department of Correctional Services. Mr. Morrison, I believe, is pro se, but is there anyone in here today on behalf of Mr. Morrison? I don't see anyone. Mr. Smith, good morning to you.
Good morning. Please, the court, James D. Smith, Solicitor General for the Nebraska Attorney General's Office. I've had the title for a while, but it's been strongly suggested and encouraged that I start using it here in court if I do so. In this case, the appellant, Morrison, is an inmate who makes a constitutional challenge under the Administrative Procedure Act to the Department of Correctional Services regulation as applied to him, which allows a warden to approve visitors. The district court dismissed the complaint for failure to state a cause of action. Morrison's complaint claims that the department applied its regulation on warden approval of visitors to deny Morrison visitation with his former live-in girlfriend.
Which regulation should we be focusing on?
The regulation that is actually a regulation that was alleged by Mr. Morrison in his amended complaint, and that regulation is found at Title 68, Chapter 4, Subsection 5 of the Nebraska Regulations. I believe what the court refers to by its citation in its order be an administrative, what the department calls an administrative regulation, but it's not in fact a regulation that's gone through the regulation process. It's more of a policy for the department. But
how did that get into the mix here?
To me, that's not clear how that got into the mix because it's not what the what Morrison alleged in his complaint. There is an administrative policy that is substantially similar to the regulation. Why the judge is referring to that, personally don't know. I suspect it might have been a citation order by order that was submitted for the court.
I wanted to bore in on that. The court's order refers to, I'll just call it X.
Okay.
Where did X come from? How did X get in the case?
One looks at the department's website, I think you can. You're going to see administrative regulations, title them administrative regulations. There's a number 205.02 that is found on their published website for their, what they call their administrative regulations. They're not, in fact, regulations in the context that they've gone through the regulatory process filed with the Secretary of State.
I beg your pardon, is it a rule and regulation that can be taken up under the statute which purports to be the jurisdiction of this case?
Well, the statute...
Because what's a rule and regulation
for
our statutory purpose?
The statute does allow a challenge to the validity of any rule or regulation. There is the regulation that I cited earlier. I think you could, the 205.02 referred to by the district court, I think could properly be referred to as a rule. That rule does also say that the warden approves visitors. It also does have an additional caveat. Generally, victim of a violent offense will not be granted permission to visit. But the challenge as filed in his complaint, he didn't cite that particular rule.
The rule of which he complains in the complaint is not the rule in the order. Is that a correct statement?
I would agree.
But the rule that is referred to in the order may have come in his brief in opposition to your motion to dismiss in the context of a pleading.
I don't know it comes in the context of a pleading. If it came in the form of a brief, it's the problem you have.
Then this was merely a brief.
Yeah, the problem then becomes, under the court rules, briefs aren't to be filed with the clerk of the district court, so unless something's done to make it part of the record, you don't have it.
Well, I think that's where Justice Stacy and I are going. What, how do we know of what is being complained?
I think how you know is what he alleged in his complaint. He specifically amended his complaint to specifically cite and challenge the regulation as filed with the Secretary of State. His challenge was to that regulation, which is found in Title 68, Chapter 4, Subsection 005. He's the one that stated what his challenge was. The court found that he did not allege a cause of action upon which relief was granted. I believe the court's decision in dismissing it was correct because his challenge, as he alleged, did not state a cause of action. And it's a de novo standard of review, so I would suggest that on a de novo standard of review, you can still conclude, did the complaint state a cause of action, and if it didn't, the district court's dismissal would be appropriate.
Do you agree that whatever the allegations of the petition or amended complaint were, the court's order clearly dismissed everything?
Yes. Yes, it was a dismissal failure, stated cause of action. He did file an amendment. He didn't, and he's not claiming he wasn't allowed to further amend or that he was allowed to amend. He stated cause of action. So we've got an appeal in which he stood on his complaint as amended.
But he also made some allegation that the rule or regulation that was on deck was incompatible with other statutes. The statute that's designed to enhance prisoners' relationships while incarcerated?
Well,
and I don't see a ruling on that.
The ruling would be that it does not state a cause of action and it's dismissed. That's the ruling. The statute that Morrison refers to is a statute, and it's cited in his brief, it's a statute that involves essentially relationships and helping to establish relationships, foster relationships with children of incarcerated parents. He even acknowledges in his brief that's not the issue. This does not acknowledge he doesn't have children, so the statute he's talking about simply doesn't apply. This is not a case of an inmate who was denied visitation with a child. So his statute that he cites just clearly doesn't fit. He doesn't have any grounds to say that he stated a cause of action for being denied visitation with someone when he's not a father of a child.
Is there any way for the court to know on this record if the rule or regulation or whatever it is to which he objects is current?
Well, it would be a matter of public record from the Secretary of State's regulations. My review of the regulation that he cites in his amended complaint is the current regulation. Before I run out of time, I did want to cite a case for persuasive value that may be helpful to the court. Judge Cuff, in a federal case, Wilson v. Hopkins, and the court site on that is it's case number 8:13CD130, November 30th, 2014. He dismissed a inmate's complaint for failure to state a claim when we had a case of an inmate who was challenging the fact that he was denied visitation with another person who was not an inmate in which he alleged that he had a committed relationship with this person. Judge Cuff goes through the four-factor Safley analysis, and among things that he does point out to is one of the factors is alternative means of exercising the claim constitutional right, and he notes that the inmate could exercise his claimed right by alternative means of mail, phone calls if the victim wishes to accept them, and communication with the victim through messages delivered by other approved visitors. I'd also cite Harmon v. Auger, 768 F. 2nd, 270. It's an Eighth Circuit case, which the Eighth Circuit said prisoners have no constitutionally protected liberty interest in visitation with any particular person, and an inmate has no constitutional right to contact visitation. In addition to that, the Overton case, applying the four factors, I think all of those factors apply in this case, and Morrison has the burden to prove they don't, and the Overton case also does say one of the things significant about Overton. The Supreme Court did not even acknowledge that an inmate has a First Amendment right of association. Rather, the court says we don't even go there, because if applying the four-factor rational basis test, that test is satisfied, we don't even have to answer the question whether there even is a First Amendment right of association for inmates to have visitation.
What is the rationale for denying visitation by a victim of a second degree?
It's going to be a fairly long answer if I may be allowed to continue.
You may.
The first factor under the Safley test is the test to serve a legitimate government interest. The legitimate government interests here are Nebraska public policy under Section 2940.301. Provides for prevention of domestic violence. Is state policy for prevention of health, safety, and welfare of the public. There's a policy and an interest in protecting the public and victims from future crimes by preventing in-person visitation contact between an inmate in prison for domestic assault and the person he assaulted. I submit that there is also the public interest of rehabilitation of an inmate is promoted by restricting in-person visitation. The person the inmate assaulted, after there necessarily was a toxic relationship that required the inmate to be imprisoned and removed from the victim of his domestic assault. Those of you who have been district judges, I think you know from your experience that time and the termination of toxic relationships, such as divorces, tends to cool the jets on those toxic relationships and tend to discourage or restrict over time for their domestic assaults. There's also the interest of protecting people in the prison from the potential of violence and the need for additional security, because if a visitor is visiting an inmate in prison and there's inmates in prison because of domestic assault on that person, there's obviously, it's a totally different situation than visitation with family members, and there's the need for potential additional security because of that history of a toxic relationship that obviously erupted to the point that he got 10 to 15 years in prison. Those are all legitimate state interests that under Safley are recognized and are applicable in this case.
Thank you.
Unless the court has other questions, we'd ask that the judgment be affirmed.
Thank you very much. The next case of the day is White versus White.